I am Anil Dhawan. I am a program manager on Windows Mobile. And
we've seen you before.
You have seen me before. Maybe with the Bluetooth. Something like that. Yeah. So I'm the Bluetooth guy, and we're here today. I'm going to show you some more Bluetooth cool stuff.
I see you presented at just a ton of conferences. Just having a look at your...
If you were at me, you probably saw my session. If you were in Portugal, you probably saw me again too. But if not, you can always catch me on Channel 9.
Okay, so what are you talking to us about today?
So, this week, I have built a box that makes my life a lot cooler and helps me with my friends because everyone wants to come over to my place and party. And you're probably wondering, what the heck did you build that could possibly do that? Because you're at work all day, and clearly you have no social life, right? Exactly. So, the problem I'm trying to solve is, I come home, really tired after work, I feel like listening to some tunes. I feel like really listening to some hardcore rock sometimes. You know, just kind of take out that energy, take out that vengeance. So, I sit down on my couch, and the TV's on, and I'm like, oh gosh, I wish I could listen to that one song of mine. But I'm on my couch, and if you've ever been on a couch, you know it's kind of hard to get up. I don't know about you, Mike, but the lazy boy, not happening. So, lazy boy, me, lazy boy, totally works well together, built a media box. And the goal here is the little box sits in my living room, that I can control from my Windows mobile phone over Bluetooth, and I can control all the music. I can play, pause, rewind, find a track, figure out what track is playing, all that good stuff, all from my phone wirelessly. So I got a silent box in the background during the daytime, and at night when I come in to party, I push some buttons and bam, the living room turns into a disco scene.
Bam?
Bam. That's bam. That's bam for you.
That's snap.
So that's where we're going, and we're going to show you how to get there.
Let's go to the whiteboard.
Let's go to the whiteboard. Let's see what we got. So we're going to start with the media box, and this is like an x86 PC, running some really fairly limited hardware, actually. It doesn't take much to build a media box, especially when you're using an embedded operating system.
So this is the iCop E-Box.
This is the iCop E-Box.
Running a 200 MHz x86 processor.
Yep, 128 MB of RAM. I've installed a notebook hard drive inside, 60 GB, so I can store all of my music. And we've got three basic ports out of this box. One is for audio, because clearly you want to hear the music. One is for Bluetooth, because we clearly want to control the music.
How is that connected?
Over USB.
Okay.
I have a standard USB dongle, which I'll show you in a bit, that hooks into the box, and CE can recognize that and play party with it. Third, we have Ethernet. The reason why we have Ethernet is, well, you need a darn way to get music into the box. So this box actually doubles up as two things, a media box and a network-attached storage server. So we got a file server sitting in the living room that can also play music.
Right.
Pretty cool. So once it's on Ethernet, we can drag it up files, and life is good. Now, this is the box side of things. Then we focus on the smartphone. Well, the smartphone has a fairly simple UI, which allows me to control things. So, play, pause, rewind, next track, previous track, all the usual suspects are there, including an added bonus killer feature for text-to-speech. Think about it. Imagine you're listening to music at home, and you're like, gosh, what was the name of that song? If you have 60 gigs of music at home, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time naming every single one of my songs. So, I've added a TTS engine using the SAPI APIs on Windows CE, and it can actually announce what song is playing. Now we'll be demoing that just in a little bit. So that's what the physical configuration looks like. And now we can look into what the box actually...
What's this down here?
This thing is a stack. This is a diagram of exactly how one would architect such a thing.
Okay, just walk us through that briefly.
Sure. So here we have basically the dividing line between hardware and software is right here. So on the hardware side, like we said, we have Bluetooth support, we have our notebook hard drive, we have audio, and we have Ethernet. And then we install Windows CE with a DSP provided by iCop for this box. And basically that allows Windows CE to talk to all the hardware-specific components of the box.
Okay, which version of CE is this?
This is Windows CE 5.0.
Okay.
Brand new cool thing, free download if you want to try it. Very cool stuff.
From WindowsEmbeddedKit.com.
WindowsEmbeddedKit.com. So once we're at Windows CE, then I wrote two applications. One, I wrote a media player, just a little media player that can actually go through my entire hard drive, find those tracks, put them all together, start playing.
So Windows CE ships with a Windows Media Player. So why did you need to write something?
The Windows Media Player on Windows CE is great. It's got a nice UI and all this stuff. My box is headless, no UI. And I wanted to control it over Bluetooth. So I leveraged the core infrastructure that's there for Windows CE, namely DirectShow. And I use the same APIs that the Windows CE Media Player uses, except I control it via Bluetooth. So that's pretty much the only reason why you would want to create your own. this is written in native code, and now I wanted to add Bluetooth to it. So I created a Bluetooth listener, and this is actually written in managed code, and we'll talk about how these two components talk to each other. So we have a native media player app that just plays songs, and then we have BT listener, which is written in managed code, which will actually control the media player from my phone.
Okay, so how long did this whole thing take to put together from start to finish?
About 2 weekends.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about full day Saturday, Sunday. I'm talking about, you know, when I get my butt out of my couch. And apparently I did. Over 2 weekends.
Right.
It's quite a record, actually.
So I guess you're going to place the code for this and instructions on how to plug this kind of thing together somewhere. So somebody else could potentially throw this together in like an hour or two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question there. So I'm going to put up all the instructions and a discussion on my blog. So you should look out for that. It's blogs.msdn.com/anil_dhawan. If you could remember that, that'd be great. But if not, you'll find tons of links, especially on Mike's site and Channel 9. So you should have no problem there. We're going to put up all the instructions and start a discussion of, you know, where we could take this type of box going forward.
Okay, hopefully home, so you can listen to the music.
Definitely, right. But if you have a Windows mobile phone.
Okay, so let's go and take a look at this stuff working, and then we'll take a look at how you actually plug the thing together. So let's start with the box, and we'll take a look at Windows Mobile.
Okay.
So, tell me about the box.
So here we have an iCop box. It's an e-box. And this is actually the e-box box, if you can know what I mean. And it supports wireless power distribution. There's no wires. Clearly, Bluetooth is a great wireless technology. And now we've actually innovated...
Wait a second. That's the e-box box.
Right.
Not the e-box.
No. This is the box.
Let's take a look at the e-box.
Okay, that's the box for the e-box.
Hey, we got
the Channel 9 Army. So we got the Channel 9 Army defending the e-box, because clearly that's really important these days. When you have a cool box, people are going to try and want to steal it from you. Channel 9 guys always help protect things.
So the box is pretty small. It's fanless.
It actually has one CPU fan.
Okay.
But other than that, totally, you know, no noise.
So what's on the back here?
We got audio, standard stuff. We got power. Need power. And we've got a Bluetooth dongle. This is a USB Bluetooth dongle. It's pretty much stock off the shelf. Nothing special here.
Is there just a particular set of Bluetooth dongles that work with this box? Or?
You know, pretty much any Bluetooth dongle that I've seen over USB works with Windows CE. I get to run into one that doesn't.
Right.
So the hardware is pretty nice there. And we have all the drivers and support. Yep.
So the box is really simple.
The box is a joke.
Right.
And then we have our phone. And the phone is a Windows Mobile smartphone. And here I have the UI running. For the media player. And as you can see, we have
a managed app.
The managed app, written completely in managed code. I have media controller as a name. And I do things like, let's say, play the music. So right now the music is paused, so we'll hit unpause. And you can hear the music. And if I wanted to maybe, you know, zoom forward and get to that one part of that track I really love, I can fast forward 5 seconds at a time. We'll program this up. And if I missed it, I can go back and rewind. And if I get a phone call, I can always pause. Or I can pause. And maybe my friend comes over and he's like, hey, what song is that? I really like it. I'll click announce. You are listening to Indie Rock and Roll by The Killers. So we use text.
Do that again.
You are listening to Indie Rock and Roll by The Killers.
So clearly we're using text speech to actually announce what song is being played right now. And if the volume is just a little high for your taste, you can actually control the volume here. Slowly, slowly, slowly bring it down. Or we can bring it back up if you're in aggressive mode.
And you can select next track and previous track.
We can go to the next track. So if I go up, let's jump forward to the next track. And we can even fast forward within the track. And if I still don't know what this track is about, I can announce once again.
You are listening to Jimmy by The Killers.
And it tells us who we're listening to and what they're playing.
Okay, that's extremely cool. So, why don't you now show us how you put this together?
Sure.
Why don't we start with Windows CE and then move up to Windows Mobile from there?
Absolutely. So let's take a look here on my laptop. I'm actually running Windows CE 5.0 Platform Builder. If you've ever built a CE image, you're very familiar with the tool. Let me just pause the music so it doesn't get in our way. Pause. So here what I've done is I've created a new platform, new custom platform, but I based it on a template already provided by Windows CE 5.0 called Digital Media Receiver. And so the first step is you choose a template, so I chose this one, and then we needed a BSP. So I dragged and dropped the BSP provided by the hardware manufacturer. And at this point, we're pretty much good to go in terms of getting a basic CE image up and running.
Okay.
And the Digital Media Receiver contains all the media player components, like DirectShow, WinMedia Player, support for various codecs and things like that. And then what I've done is I've added the .NET Compact Framework, because we're writing a managed app, which is the Bluetooth listener. And then I've gone ahead and added support for things like our hard drive. So up here we have storage devices, so I added a Tappy PCI ID storage block controller. And then we have a bunch of custom software that I wrote, basically four components. One is the ScanSoft speech engine, which I didn't write, which is a text-to-speech engine from a third party, which plugs into SAPI and makes our life easier in terms of writing TTS-based applications.
So Windows CE 5 by default doesn't ship with a speech engine, but does ship with support for the speech API.
Correct.
So you need to obtain a speech engine from somebody. In this case, you've used ScanSoft.
Absolutely. Engine. Right. Okay. Here I'm using a custom ScanSoft engine. And so now we have the media player listener, which is actually a component that listens over Bluetooth in managed code to requests from the phone. And then I have the actual media player running on the box, which is actually sitting there running all the time. And then I've got a custom app launcher. And this is actually based off of Mike Hall's code on his blog. And what this thing does is when the box boots up, this program launches in the startup folder and runs the media player listener and the custom media player itself. Okay. So this allows me to turn off the box, and I can turn it on headlessly, need no input, and music will just automatically play.
Okay. So why do you need the custom app launcher? What does that actually do for you?
The custom app launcher is actually really cool. What this does is I can just drag and drop any program I want now onto my hard drive on this CEPC, on this little box, and I program the custom app launcher to look into a specific folder and run every single .exe file there.
Okay.
So really cool. If I want to revision my software, I don't need to create a new CE image. All I do is I update the program sitting on the hard drive.
Right, which is exposed through a share, so you can just drop an .exe in there and reboot.
Exactly. So because this is a network-attached storage device, just drag and drop my .exe, and life just works.
Okay. And I assume you're going to send out, as part of your blog post, kind of links to various things like the network-attached storage stuff came from Chris Gray.
Absolutely. Chris Gray has a great video up there, and I'll definitely put links up to that.
Yep. Okay. So that's it. That's the CE side.
This is pretty much the CE side, yep. And we've got Bluetooth support, and we just basically build an image, and we boot the box.
Okay. So now let's take a look at the code that sits behind that.
Cool. So if we look at the media player itself, again, I've written this in native code. It's fairly straightforward. Basically, I declared the bunch of events that I want to trap and expose. So things like start, next track, previous track, fast forward, volume up, volume down, those types of things that I'll expose here. And then I've got a table of volumes that I allow people to use. So you can select a volume from very low to very high in case you're having a party. And then we actually get into my code, which is fairly straightforward. We have a few functions that go through the entire hard disk and index all the media files.
Right. And we construct that's pretty much using find first file, find next file.
Yeah, pretty basic stuff. Find first file, find next file. We construct a file name list.
Yeah.
Once we've got the list, then we've pretty much got an Uber playlist. And then someone will issue us a command to actually play tracks. And so we've got a bunch of these commands, play current track, play next track, all that stuff. It's pretty much a one-to-one mapping between these commands up here and these functions are down here.
Okay.
So pretty straightforward stuff. So then we'll jump straight into the win main. The win main is very straightforward. We enumerate all files and we populate this playlist, which is a global variable. And then I actually tell my app to start.
So you're sending a message to yourself.
I send a message to myself because I'm lonely.
And start simply starts playing the first song in the list, right?
Let's see what it does. So we send wmap start to ourselves. And if we go into our window procedure, we see here that wmap start plays the next track. So that's pretty much the control logic. The more window messages you get, they just get pumped through here, and we just dispatch to the appropriate function.
Okay, so why don't we take a look at play next track and see what that actually does.
If we go to play next track, we've got it right here. And it's very straightforward. It's if the current track is not null, we haven't reached the end of our playlist, we will set the current track to the next track, and we'll play it.
Okay.
And if we have reached the end, then we go back to the beginning. We do get first. So that's pretty much the core of this stuff here.
And what does play current track do?
Play current track actually plays a track. If I could find the function right up here, play current track. Where have I stuffed this guy? I seem to have lost myself. Where is play current track? There we go. It's hidden right here. Yep. So right here is play current track. All we do is we copy over the file name from the playlist, and I have some debug output for when I was actually building this box. We tell the media controller to stop, and we free up some memory, and then we actually tell it to render the file, given the file name, and we tell it to run. So this will actually go ahead and play it. And if it for some reason didn't play, then we have a debug string that's going to play. So this happens in the background.
I guess what you could do there is call your announce function to say, I'm awfully sorry, I couldn't play that drag.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. That would be kind of scary if you ask me. But yeah, certainly. These output debug strings could just be pound defined to announce text.
Exactly.
Which is rather scary. That would be rather scary. Exactly. That's the core of this in terms of playing.
Yeah.
And then we've got nice functions to do things like announce. And so with announce, we're actually using SAPI, which is the speech API, ships with Windows CE. As Mike mentioned, you don't have a text-to-speech engine that ships with CE, so you have to get one from a third party. So in this case, what I've done is, when the user clicks announce track, we get a message here, and we end up with this function, announce track. And what we do is we actually get the ID3 tag, or any media content information, from the file that's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So my box right now supports MP3, WAV, and WMA files. And those files, especially MP3s, contain ID3 information. So we try to extract it, and if we were successful, then we actually get the title and get the author, and we tell the system to literally say this line, which is, you are listening to S by S. Now the first S gets replaced by the title of the song, mm-hmm. and the second S gets replaced by author, and that's what you end up hearing. So pretty basic stuff, using SAPI, literally. One screenful of code allows you to figure out ID3 tag information and play in the text-to-speech engine a text string saying you are listening to this song by this artist.
Yep.
Pretty powerful stuff.
Yep. So it wouldn't actually be that much extra work for this to automatically connect to an XML feed and pull down a podcast.
Absolutely.
And automatically add that to the list and play.
Since this configuration does have network connectivity, you can easily pull off anything from the internet. So you can even stream Shoutcast, you can stream podcasts, you can even stream some of the radio stations that are out there that support WMA.
Yeah.
And they all work seamlessly. Absolutely.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Maybe that would be the first extension.
That could very well be the first extension. Although I like your idea of announcing the errors using text-to-speech first.
Okay.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right, so let's move on. What's next?
So we've so far explored how we built the CE box in terms of the BSP and the CE image. Then we discussed how we built the media player and what the media player does. Now let's take a look at how the media player listens to commands from our phone. And to do that, we basically go to this special program I've written, which I call the Media Player Bluetooth Listener. Mm-hmm. So this is written in managed code, and it also runs on the CE device. And here I'm leveraging the Microsoft Windows Mobile Shared Source Bluetooth wrapper that some of you might be familiar with already from our previous visits. And using this wrapper, life is a lot easier in terms of programming Bluetooth. In fact, it's a joke. So here it is. We instantiate a new service, and we pass in a GUID. For those of you familiar with Bluetooth, you'll know that we always have to pass in a GUID to identify the service. Then we tell the service to start, and then we start listening for people to send us commands. So we basically create a connection here with accept connection, and then while people are connecting, we spawn off a worker thread. And the worker thread is down here. It's fairly straightforward. It basically, in its own tight loop, reads a byte from Bluetooth and sends a window message to the media player window using this window message. So we should probably explain this a little bit. So you see OX8000 here. Let me go up here to the media player itself. What you'll see here is we've defined a bunch of these special window messages. So for example, app start, app next track, previous track. And they're all defined using WMApp plus some offset.
Right.
So what I've done here is I've pretty much done a simple mapping, which is...
And WMApp is Hex8000.
Exactly. Hex8000, Mike's a very smart guy. And because of that, all you need to do is pass in a single integer identifying your command.
Right.
And what we do is we pass it off.
So that sounds like it's going to be extremely easy to extend the functionality by just adding another command.
Absolutely, right? The goal for this for this application is to be kind of a pass-through. So if I add new commands to the media player, I just need to update my phone. I don't need to update this intermediate app. This guy just dispatches window messages back and forth.
So how are you sending the message?
Cool. So the great thing about the .NET Compact Framework is it supports this message window class, which is a really cool tool if you can exploit it the right way, which we have here. So what we do is we try to find the custom media player that I wrote. We try to find it, and we try to find its window handle. Because to send a window message, we need the window handle.
Mm-hmm.
So we do other window is find media window, which you see down here. And we basically pinvoke. Down here, I've declared the pinvoke.
The find window function, right.
Standard D2, takes in the window class and the title. In this case, I'm actually querying purely by the title. And it should find window, assuming the media player is up and running, and it passes back a pointer.
Yep.
Once we got that, we can actually send a window message to it. So we construct the window message here, and we pass it to that window, and we give it the window message. And then here we actually dispatch the message to that window. So we're basically doing a message window.send message to send the window message that someone has asked us to send to that window.
Okay.
So this handles all the Bluetooth communications.
Right.
The great thing is my media player knows nothing about Bluetooth.
Sure.
It could live totally without Bluetooth. So with this architecture using window messages, we actually made everything quite extensible.
Okay. So that's all of the Windows CE side.
Right.
So now what about the Windows Mobile side?
The Windows Mobile side is also fairly straightforward. And so here I've loaded up the code for the actual app that runs on the phone. And what I've done here is I've declared a table of all the commands. And as you can imagine, these map one-to-one to all of the commands declared in our media player. As you can imagine, when the user selects a certain item in the UI, we want to dispatch that same window message.
Yes.
So what we'll do here is when the form loads, I populate my list view with a bunch of these commands. Again, this is just what you see in the UI.
So you're just taking the index number command from the list view,
right,
and adding 8,000 hex to it and dispatching that as a
basically
number.
Exactly.
Right.
So here we are. When someone selects something in the list view, we actually send the right command. So I've said send command, media player command, dot, rewind track, fast forward track, pause track, all that good stuff. And if you look at the send command code, it's very straightforward. This is the Bluetooth client logic, which goes through the list of Bluetooth devices that my phone is paired with and tries to connect using service GUID, which is defined here. Again, with Bluetooth, this GUID and the GUID sitting on the server side on the box have to match. So we've copied and pasted the same GUID. And now we can actually connect. And once we connect, I simply write a single byte. And that byte is good enough to, you know, tell us what command we want to send. And that gets sent over the Bluetooth. And it gets dispatched on the C side using managed code, using the managed wrapper. And that sends a window message to the media player app, which actually does something with that. So hopefully, given the simple scenario, you've seen the end-to-end, how we actually build the media box from the hardware perspective. You've seen how we actually build a CE image to run on the box. You've seen how we can actually write a media player app on Windows CE. We've also seen how to Bluetooth enable Windows CE and the media player app using managed code, again, using our managed Bluetooth wrapper. And you've also seen how you can write a simple smartphone application that can speak over Bluetooth to the media box.
Okay. So beyond this video, where should we go to get more information about this?
So definitely check out CE. Definitely check out our Bluetooth postings from before. Please check out the Windows Mobile Shared Source Bluetooth Managed Wrapper. Definitely visit my blog, because there'll be a ton of activity coming forward around this project and other Bluetooth projects.
So that's blogs.msdn.com/anil_dhawan.
Yes.
Okay.
You can figure out how to spell my last name. It's a little tricky. But otherwise, go to Michael's website, and he's got a link to my place as well there.
That's blogs.msdn.com/Michael.
Michael,
right.
Exactly. So that's pretty much it. And now I'm super excited because I can have this little box, this little guy, with my Channeline buddies. I can go home, relax, and play any music I want.
From the safety and comfort of your lazy boy, you can listen to your favorite music.
As long as I've got juice in my phone, I can control my media box.
That's extremely cool.
In fact, it's a snap.
Anil, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Never a pain.
Never a pain.
Thanks.
Yep, bye.